Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
This is just a reaction, really, to the events that are breaking right now in the US, in Boston. Breaking news regarding explosions going on during a marathon. The end of a 26-mile run, I think, is the length of the marathon. So this is really just to log immediate events as they happen, as they break. So for those that are listening to this on the day of the events, you're likely also be tuning in to news feeds at the same time as perhaps hearing this podcast. And if you're listening to it afterwards, then perhaps this may be interesting in terms of reflecting on events from the day to get an idea of some of the information that was breaking. So I've got the news on in the background. I've got mainstream conventional Sky News on in the UK, and their affiliate is Fox News in the US. So it's the same kind of information you get through from both sources. I've also got Alex Jones on, and I was just happened to be listening to the Alex Jones podcast from Infowars.com, which I'm sure most of our subscribers and listeners are familiar with. And Alex Jones had a guest on just talking about the JFK assassination and some of the conspiracy theories behind that, or perhaps even conspiracy facts, depends what your point of view is. But interestingly, this story broke midway through that, or perhaps nearer the end of the interview, but they were live on air when it broke. So I've got some of Alex Jones's reactions, which I've obviously heard, to go alongside with the mainstream perspective. It's quite an interesting contrast, really. But it looks to me like, I mean, at the time of recording this, and the event has only just broken about an hour ago, it looks to me like this is a terrorist event of some description, a terror attack. And whether or not it's a false flag or not, the obviously this is too early to say, and a lot of information and analysis has to be done by people to get to grips with what's happening. At this point in time, no one has even announced that this is a terrorist attack, and the details of any potential cause just haven't been revealed in terms of any other theory. I mean, there is obviously the possibility that this was a gas leak, which I have to stress at the point of doing this recording, we just don't know for sure yet whether or not this was some accident, such as a gas leak. There have been reports of gas leaks in Boston, New York area, around this kind of area, I think. So it wouldn't be completely unheard of. But it just seems very strange that could have occurred right at this point where the marathon ends. So just to kind of throw out a few interesting points that people have been making, and I've also been viewing various internet forums, watching some reactions people have. There's a very interesting website called www.godlikeproductions.com. That's godlikeproductions.com. That's an interesting forum which has been going for many years now, I think beyond 10 years actually. And they've got some people on there, it's like an anonymous forum. And somebody made the point, which I think is quite interesting, that they're now talking about this being to do with having an event like this break out right at the point where everyone's filming it. So in other words, everyone was filming an event like this because they were watching the marathon end. People were running through the finish line, and then the big explosion occurred. So if this was a false flag, it's certainly been filmed from multiple angles. So perhaps part of this terror is to invoke a lot of reaction, because no doubt lots of footage is going to hit YouTube in the next day or so. It may even be, well, it's most likely hitting right now. So for that reason, you've got many people in a confined space, in a condensed area of this urban environment, filming with their phones, with their cameras. So we're going to see lots of footage. So what that footage will reveal, nobody knows yet. But it's not so much about what it reveals, it's more about the fear of seeing it. It's more about the horror, and it's more about the reaction that might spark. It's going to kind of invoke certain emotions in people. And websites like YouTube and Twitter, where a lot of this is breaking, will be part of that, will be part of that emotion, will be part of that reaction. So Twitter's an interesting one. It was pretty much a trending topic within about 30 seconds of the news breaking, and it hasn't really stopped since. There's I'm keeping an eye on it. We're getting around, it looks like about 80 tweets a second. So that's just gives you an idea of the amount of hype and interest that a story like this generates nowadays in today's hive-like minds that we live in terms of things like Twitter, which in a very true sense are like the hive minds. And I've said that before in previous podcast episodes back last year, 2012. So the other theory that I'm kind of seeing is this idea that I've only heard Alex Jones mention this so far, but there's some sort of Patriots anniversary today in various states in the US. So there could be some symbolism there in terms of the dates. And Alex's theory, I think, is to do with the idea that perhaps they could be looking to blame this on Patriots in the US, people who are maybe pro-gun, and this may be some kind of attempt to blame it on them because it's some sort of anniversary special. Who knows, though? That's very early kind of just throw it out there kind of suggestion from Alex Jones, who is just obviously as flummoxed by the whole thing as everyone right now. So we just don't know. I mean, it will be interesting to see who they blame this on, if they blame it on anybody, because like I said, we still don't know. One of the things that my brother Peter said on a phone call I just had about 10 minutes ago, we just had a long, interesting phone conversation about this, and he's monitoring the events as well as me, listening to various radio stations in the UK. One of the points he made, and he's looking at a map of Boston right now to get an idea of the geography of what we're looking at, is that this area is just jam-packed with symbolic, interesting kind of historic monuments to American history, all sorts of, perhaps sort of condensed in an area a bit like London, but there's all that. In other words, you can potentially find some sort of symbolism here if you really look, most likely. So it's an interesting location for this to happen, but obviously the marathon itself has always happened here. I'm just looking at footage now on Sky News of it. It's a devastating image to see. It's the moment the explosion goes off, and I think there were two explosions apparently, one 20 seconds perhaps after the first one, but I don't think anyone actually knows for sure right now. But the video footage of this first explosion going off is, it's not graphic, but it's pretty horrific, because it's just the way that there are so many people in the frame, in the shot, because they're all spectating, watching the marathon, and the explosion goes off, and you see people react. The immediate reaction people have is to cover their ears, which I think is just an automatic response, really. And it must have been a very loud explosion. But then you've got people running. They continue to run, which is an interesting reaction. I guess, you know, if you're in a situation like that, you've just done a 26-mile or so run. You've been training for months, perhaps even years, to do it. And the bomb goes off right at the point where you're about to cross the finish line. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You're just going to keep running. And that appears to be what most people did in that precise moment. So one guy collapsed, I think perhaps out of shock of the noise. And some people did stop. But, I mean, in a situation like that, it's just human instinct is to just either carry on or die for cover, really. So, very interesting. But there are multiple shots coming in of the explosion itself. It's a lot of white smoke, which somebody on one of the forums I'm monitoring suggested is potentially evidence to point towards the use of Semtex as opposed to C4. So that's an interesting point that somebody's made, but without knowing about these things to a sort of military kind of operations level, comments like that are just ungrounded, really, unless somebody like that really did know what they're saying. Somebody else has made the point that it could be an IED, but without knowing the facts, nobody can say for sure at this stage what it could possibly have been in terms of the actual device used. If it was a device, and I have to stress that again, because we still don't know at this point in time whether or not it was a device. They're saying two people dead, 28 injured. But again, we know for a fact that these figures fluctuate up and down all the time during breaking stories. But it's shocking nonetheless. If it's one person or 100, it's still shocking news. So this is a pretty captivating story. Breaking news always is. I guess this is just really just to chronicle the event in terms of getting my immediate reaction out there, getting Peter's out there, because we're always keeping an eye on events, and we've sworn that whenever something like this unfolds, we want to monitor it and try and look out for early indications of foul play. Because one of the things that they say is that the first 5 hours of any story like this are the most important, because that's when facts usually leaks, but then a day later or 10 hours later, those facts melt away and all of a sudden the official line comes out and people report on something that wasn't necessarily the initial breaking news story. So we will most likely do another episode about this event a few days or a few weeks after this story has occurred, just to recap our thoughts and to provide some sort of analysis about what may have happened. And no doubt soon we'll know more and we'll find out some interesting theories. One interesting point that somebody has made on a forum is in relation to, and I don't know the details yet, it's very scarce, but somebody has apparently said that they were pulled out of the marathon by somebody they didn't know moments before the explosion went off. And they were told by the person that pulled them out of the marathon that they were worried about their health because they looked like they were about to pass out. But this person wasn't unhealthy and had no sign of fainting. Very, very, you know, low, small amount of detail there, really. And there's no, I don't know who the person was. So I'm really just reading off a forum here, folks. So it's really almost a pointless point to make at this stage, but just worth perhaps noting in case it's that evolves into a bigger story down the road when more information might break. So there we go. Interesting event. Sad, shocking, deeply saddening event. All sorts of reports now of secondary devices being found, which is perhaps an escalation to this news story that's worth mentioning. Even if these reports turn out to be unconfirmed or they ultimately prove to be false reports, it is still interesting that we are getting such information coming through. So there's a story that the White House has been evacuated, so that's just breaking, which is pretty alarming. There's also a report of an actual explosion, a third explosion now going off, and a library, JFK library, but that is completely unconfirmed. So it is just in a break. All of this is breaking right now, and when you listen to this episode, no doubt these stories will have either been confirmed or ultimately proven to be false. So there is probably not a lot of point talking about this as part of this particular episode of the podcast. I just think what I want to bring and add to this right now is just in terms of a reflection of these events, and it is difficult to do this because it's a breaking story, but I'm trying to be retrospective, which is always an interesting challenge. But there is always this sense that it's like almost like watching a movie. So you've got an event that's unfolding, and there's almost like a sense that there is an underlying narrative to this. Like it's a screenplay. So you've got the first bit of news, a break, and then you've got the second and third pieces of news coming in, reminiscent of 9/11 really, and the 7/7 bombings in London in 2005. Where you've then got an escalation of that because you've got a second explosion and a second scene, a second location. And even if all these events turn out to be untrue, it just magnifies the hype, magnifies the fear people have. Now, moving on from that line slightly, I've just seen a shot there that they've just revealed on Sky News, very briefly shown that shot there. I think it's because it's quite horrific. But there is a shot of the street, the aftermath of where the explosion went off, the first bomb. And it really is a nasty sight to see. It's the streets just filled in with blood, essentially, just puddles of blood just all over the concrete pavement there. Shattered glass. It looks to me from that shot like the explosion came from the window of a building, and the explosion radius spread out through that window. But it's difficult to say at this stage. It would seem to make sense that that's where a bomb would be planted, though, but who knows. Apparently there is going to be a press conference soon, so I may as well provide something of a reaction to that as it's live streamed. We're now also having breaking reports regarding security plans. So security plans, obviously this is marathon time in the UK and in the US and probably other countries. So you've got the London Marathon. We just had a marathon in Brighton as well, which is a city in the south coast of England. So we've just had that without events. And this obviously is going to magnify the security for the London events. And no doubt Margaret Thatcher's funeral, which I think is probably worth mentioning, which I think is on Wednesday, which is 2 days from this date, which is Monday the 15th of April, which I think is easy to miss that, just that simple fact when we log in these things. So we've now got breaking news conference from the authorities in Boston.
Today, there were simultaneous explosions that occurred along the route of the Boston Marathon near the finish line. These explosions occurred 50 to 100 yards apart, and each scene resulted in multiple casualties. At this point in time, all of the victims have been removed from the scene. We have sent officers to hospitals to be in touch with family members and possible witnesses. We immediately activated a system of response that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and the federal government has in place for these type of incidents. My first two calls were to the special agent in charge of the FBI and to the colonel of the state police. Both Rick DeLaurier and Tim Albans immediately sent resources. We have, at this point in time, determined that there has been a third incident that has occurred.
So that's breaking news, third incident.
An explosion that occurred at the JFK library.
So that's now confirmed.
So this is very much an ongoing event at this point in time. We are not certain that these incidents are related, but we are treating them as if they are. We're recommending to people that they stay home, that if they're in hotels in the area, that they return to their rooms, and that they don't go anyplace and congregate in large crowds.
Well, that's huge breaking news there, then. So they're saying that this is an ongoing event, and we've had a third explosion at JFK Library, which was reported earlier.
The first one is for families of victims and people who are trying to locate people. That number is 617-635-4500. That is the mayor's hotline. The second number, if anyone saw anything at this incident, if anybody knows of any information that could lead to the arrest and prosecution of the individuals responsible for this, they should call us at 1-800-494-TIPS. That's 1-800-494-TIPS. That line will be staffed up tonight, along with the...
It sounds to me like they still haven't got a clue what's happened, and they've got no information about
the
bomb or the potential parties involved.
And we have additional assets from other agencies who are volunteering to assist us. After this incident occurred, there was certainly a lot of people who were running from the scene. Some of them deposited bags and parcels that they were carrying. Each one of those bags and parcels is being treated as a suspicious device at this point in time. We have multiple EOD teams that are checking each one of these bags. But at this point, we have not found another device. The three incidents that have occurred, two of them occurred simultaneously on Boylston Street. and the third one occurred at JFK about a half hour ago. People should be calm, but they should understand that this is an ongoing event, and they should understand that we need all the information that we can get available to us. Thank you.
Ed, thank you very much. I want to thank the commissioner. I had a call from the president about a half an hour ago, who assured us that we would have full cooperation of the FBI, whose SAC is here, and the ATF. We're also on the ground.
Okay, that was pretty interesting then. So we just had breaking news there. So this story is now escalating quite considerably, I would suggest. Peter, you've just heard that as well on the radio, I take it.
Yeah, we've got the press conference live on the radio. It's not too loud in the background.
That's absolutely fine. I think that's fine.
Okay,
so,
if you want to follow it, yeah, the guy's just, I'm recording it on a mini disc, the audio, so I'll have this audio as well.
Fantastic. So it sounds.
I mentioned you about half an hour ago about there being various sites in Boston. I was able to grab a Bardica's USA guide and look up the city map. It's a kind of peninsula, kind of sticks out into a loop of a river, and the north bend of this peninsula has loads of different sites. One of them is the JF Kennedy building. They were talking about library, but it appears to be the JFK library library they were talking about. They were talking about public library earlier.
Yeah.
So I think that is the building they're referring to.
Yeah, and a few interesting points just came out of that conference as well. So they've said that there was a third bomb, so that's now confirmed, and that detonated. So it wasn't just that they found a device; it wasn't that was a failed bomb. The thing actually did detonate, apparently. So that's news.
I did hear there was a fourth one. There was a slightly conflicting report there. There was a guy been interviewed on the radio a minute ago. He said there was something fourth object they'd found, but it hadn't gone off.
Right.
So that may be right, it may not be right.
Well, the interesting thing is again, we've just heard live on that press conference not moments ago that this is an ongoing event. He stressed that, and he said that they are looking, actively seeking more devices. And he even went as far as to say, stay in your homes, basically, was the line he used, I think. And he said, avoid large crowds, avoid areas where there may be large pockets of people, large groups of people. And get out of hotels was the other thing I think he said.
Get out of hotels?
Yeah, I think that's the line he used. Essentially, he said, if you're in a hotel, it may be time to evacuate the hotel.
Yeah.
So this is
it. Have you told our listeners about the things that happened earlier, the stuff you're watching on TV and that?
I have. I've just provided a bit of an overview of what I'm seeing as the story breaks.
Yeah.
And obviously, we have to stress that this is a reaction to events as they're unfolding, so we haven't really had time to digest this information, so a lot of what we say may turn out to be inaccurate, but we're being very careful here to try and provide as many facts as possible based on what we're seeing.
Yeah, but one of the things I was looking at when you rang me, I said I've got this map out, and at the Boston Tea Party, of course, happened in Boston, there was a little museum or replica ship a mile or so to the east of this marathon site. There's a whole freeway called the John Fitzgerald Expressway that runs right through the city.
Yep.
There's a number of other buildings that you could... Yes, Franklin's birthplace, and also Paul Revere House and the Paul Revere statue to the north of the city. Various wharfs, Constitutional Wharf, Lincoln Wharf. So there's a lot of things. And Christopher Columbus Park as well.
Yeah.
They have a lot of things to do with the founding of America. So if you were going to bring that up on the day today, which it's Patriots Day, I believe. Today.
Yeah, I think I was mentioned that about that earlier, but I got my facts a bit muddled. It really is just a reaction to the news story. But it's the Patriots Day, which is in relation to the anniversary of the day the British retreated out of Boston during the American War of Independence.
Yeah.
So that's that now confirmed. I was saying something about it being to do with particular states, but no, it is an internationally recognised date where that occurred. It's a historic event, really.
Yeah.
The day marks that occasion. Also, this business about the 26 mile, there is some reference again to that, and it's to do with commemoration of the Newtown school shooting. And again, though, I still haven't quite grasped what that is quite in relation to. It's something I keep hearing bits of, but then forgetting to take a firm note of it. But that's the sort of information that will no doubt become clearer over the next day or so. When
yeah, and of course, all marathons are 26 miles, or 26.2 miles, every marathon's the same length.
There was a moment's silence, apparently, before this marathon started to commemorate that, though.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, right. So, interestingly, I mentioned earlier that this strikes me as a sort of, when you're watching it on TV, it kind of seems like something out of a movie, like these things always do. But this really has a sort of Dark Knight style vibe to it. And one of the things that they just said in that press conference, which really is straight out of the Dark Knight, is that they're watching CCTV footage, trying to pinpoint exactly various figures that were running from the scene with backpacks on. And they're now suspecting that most of those people involved could potentially have been carrying bombs in backpacks. So they're now actively trying to seek people wearing backpacks. And apparently many of those backpacks were dropped on the ground, which is obviously very suspicious in and of itself. So they're now actively looking at these backpacks and getting IED teams in to try and analyse what's going on there with those.
So if they did something like 7/7, it's not a suicide bombing. They would have dropped the bombs, if that's true.
Yep.
And headed off.
Yeah.
So it seems to rule out a Middle East style of attack, even if 7/7 wasn't that. It was implied that it was. This is sort of dropping the bomb and wanting to get away.
Yeah.
So that would imply it's maybe more a force that wants to strike again, or, you know, we could say military types, false flag, or a terrorist group that wants to, you know, come back for another go another time, but hasn't got the same ideology.
Yeah. Very interesting. And also, I mean, the thing that I certainly thought as well was perhaps those people cottoned on to the fact that this was a live event, so they dropped the backpacks thinking this isn't a drill, if you know what I mean. So the point I'm making is, going back to something like 7/7, one of the theories of 7/7 was that the bombers involved thought it was a drill, and they thought they were taking part in a training exercise, and they thought the backpacks they were wearing were just kind of rigged up with fake explosives. It was all just a rehearsal, but then those were real bombs and they went off.
Could be, Martin. Of course, heard something about the Prudential Tower as well, which is again a little bit southwest of the area we were just discussing. That's been evacuated, so I don't know if they're a bit worried about something going on there, but that's quite a tall tower.
Seems to be a breaking story, yeah. And also there's talk of a no-fly zone now enforced around Boston, which I guess is pretty routine now.
I mean, I would say this is probably, a lot of those things will happen anyway. They'll always lock things down. And just hearing something on the radio, hold on. Yeah, they're just mentioning that tower on the radio.
Right.
Yeah, no fly zone. I think a lot of that stuff is different scenarios. I mean, it seems to be an on the ground sort of 7/7 type of tactic, to use an unpleasant word.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see aircraft and things involved in it, you know, in this scenario at all.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a precautionary thing. It's part of their routine.
Yeah.
But it is just notable that it's now escalated to that point, that where they're now creating no-fly zones. So this, I mean, an hour ago we were still speculating this may have been a gas explosion. Yeah. So these things obviously
evolving. There have been gas explosions before in New York a couple of years back, I think.
So interesting. So we're going to continue to monitor this story, and if anything more notable breaks, we will add it to this episode and cut it in. So just another update here. I'm just cutting in as story develops, really. So as we've just said, as Peter just mentioned, we've had reports of a third bomb, and they're now talking about Boston pretty much being a city under lockdown. So it's all very reminiscent of 9/11, the idea of a city being locked down. Cell phone services are all offline now in the city, and that's really presumably to stop IEDs from being remote detonated, or makeshift bombs. So it's still very much an ongoing story, very serious stuff. And then they were talking about the need for Obama to make an appearance. So that will no doubt be the next key event here.
Of particular concern, the fact that this third device at the JFK Library, which has not yet been described, but we know that there was some sort of event at the JFK Library 4 miles away, you now have to deal with trying to comb a very large part of the city. In other words, when it was 5 or 6 blocks, you could manage that process. Describe what must be happening now from the point of view of the Boston Police Department.
Well, they will not be conducting a physical search of that area. It's now too large an area. They would have done it for the immediate staging areas for responders. And so what now they have is an investigation where they're collecting lots of different witness statements, CCTV, forensic evidence from the scenes and from the bombs, and putting that together into what I would call a mosaic of information and intelligence from which they will attempt to figure out who did this. There are a lot of different techniques. No, every case breaks in a slightly different way, and they will be gathering as much as they can. They will be interviewing the victims, interviewing eyewitnesses, going through CCTV, surveying the call records when the calls came in, looking at social media, and out of that, they will get a picture pretty quickly, I think, of how this was carried out and by whom.
Okay, so it's about 5 minutes later after that last feed I just provided. I'm starting to see the first video footage hit YouTube now, and obviously it's impossible for people in Boston now to upload video footage via cell phone data. They can still use Wi-Fi and internet connections to do this, so obviously racing home to upload some of this stuff. But I'm seeing the first raw, unedited footage of the immediate aftermath of the bomb, and it is, as you'd expect, very horrific, very harrowing footage that I will probably not want to re-watch again. Just pools of blood, basically, and they're now saying over 100 injured, which is considerably risen, because at first they said 28 injured, and I think we can only assume that perhaps we're going to have more deaths to come. So this is an unfolding story, and it's looking grimmer and grimmer by the moment. So it's now about half an hour, 30 minutes after the last cut-in I did, and this episode has been a series of cut intercutted moments of throughout the evening where news has unfolded and I've provided an update. And now we're about two and a half hours in since this news story initially broke, which was around 8 o'clock UK time, and I think certainly the facts are still pretty mysterious. Nothing firm has been established yet, even though we are, like I say, 2.5 to 3 hours into the event. But it is still early days, and it is an ongoing story still. But I think what we do now know, I think some reports are now suggesting that the JFK bomb, the JFK library bomb, was actually a fire. There are also other reports to suggest that a DOD team went in and performed a controlled demolition on a device, and it may well have been just a backpack that they were wary of, so they did whatever it is they do. But a guest on the Alex Jones show mentioned that would be very suspicious if that is the line there, because it's rare for a team to do that in such short time spans. They would be more inclined to wait quite a few hours to do something like that. Their aim is always to actually do a safe deal with the bomb safely without causing damage to the building. And what they seem to have done was destroy the bomb, and as a result, a fire started to rage in the library, which has now been put out, but very, very limited information about that side of this story. The focus is on the actual main two bombings that happens along the marathon stretch. A couple of points I'd just like to make by way of wrapping this episode up. I mentioned that in the press conference, they warned people to vacate hotels. That turned out to be something I misheard. I was trying to do five things at once and didn't quite hear that line correctly at the time. But I think the gist of it is that there is still that sense of fear in the city, and they seem to be pretty serious about trying to convince people to at least stay at home and to avoid large crowds. That part was accurate, as well as just be on their guard, I think, was really the message. So that's quite an unprecedented thing for a mayor, for you know, the police to say to a city the size of Boston, avoid large crowds and stay indoors. It's not the sort of thing you hear usually, and I don't think since 9/11 has something of that scale ever occurred. It's pretty unprecedented, really. In terms of initial reports as well, there's still no indication of who's to blame. We just had a press conference there with Barack Obama, and he really had no information to give. It was almost like a placeholder-style press conference, almost like a lackey would have provided something like that. It didn't really feel like it had the brunt of a president providing that, because he had no information to give, essentially. He pretty much just acknowledged that an event had occurred. So I found that quite interesting, because I think perhaps people were expecting actual facts to start slipping through at that point, but we didn't get anything that we didn't already know. So no indication, no mention of Al-Qaeda. And I think some sources are suggesting that this seems to be more like a homegrown internal affair. So obviously people are starting to look now at the idea that this could be to do with some lone nuts. But then we're also hearing reports, military, Wesley Clark was on a particular news channel, an ex-general, saying this is a very, very well orchestrated event. And I think the police have acknowledged that and said that as an official comment. This was an extremely well-planned event, so therefore it would suggest that perhaps this couldn't be the work of a lone nut. This seems to be organised, it seems to be by a group, yet apparently there was no early warning. So usually you receive an early warning message, but there was no warning, no potential threat, alerts, anything. It just happened completely out of the blue. And you do get the impression that they're scrambling a little bit. You get the impression that the government, the administration, don't really know how to react to this. It's caught them with their pants down, basically, and they're a little bit confused and a little bit unsure what's going on the ground. So that in itself is quite an interesting thing to note, I think, tonight as this unfolds. So I think we're going to end it here and continue to monitor events. Like I said earlier in this episode, I think the aim for us will be to perhaps do a follow-up piece to this in a couple of weeks' time, once this has all died down and we know the facts and we've had time to really analyse this and try and understand what unfolded today. But I think it was good to get this out, and if you do give it a listen, I hope you get something out of it, even if it's a day or two after the events unfolded and some of the things we've said turned out to be false or inaccurate. I think even regardless of that, it was important to get this out there, just to log the event and to try and keep on top of things as I unfold, because as I said earlier, the first 3 hours of an event like this are always key, and I think people just need to try their best to interpret the information that's coming through, understand what's happening, and pretty much just ensure they don't forget the information they heard during those vital few hours, because sometimes the information that you hear to begin with is the information that they pretty much try and suppress in the end. So nothing necessarily particularly key has come out, in my opinion. I don't think anything of any real note yet has struck me. But you never know. You know, it's like with 9/11, facts came out that at the time were reported by the mainstream media, but haven't since been rejected. And things like the idea that they pulled the World Trade WTC-7 building, the idea that they pulled that as part of the controlled demolition, they refused to acknowledge that, even though Larry Silverstein said that they did that on a documentary show. So it's just little things like that you have to look out for. So anyway, stay tuned, and we'll try and provide more information in a future date.
Information. where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.